everybody. Tim Wingate here with the World Union of Deist Podcast. My next guest today is somebody I've known for most of my life. One of my best friends in all the world, someone who I've gone on many adventures with. And this is I'd like to introduce you to my brother, Mark. You there, Mark?
I am here. Hello, Tim.
All right. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing excellent. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Oh, you're doing the Chicago thing. Hey.
Hey, of course. Hey, Chicago. You know, hey, how you doing? You know, how's
things how you
over
doing?
By you?
They're fine. Yeah, sure, you betcha, don't you know?
Oofta.
Oofta. Do the little mini Snowton thing.
Yeah. Okay.
We were talking in the previous segment. I was talking with our representative, Paul, from Washington State, who has set up a Deist Reason Center there in his cabin out there by Mount Rainier. And we were talking just a little bit about spreading the word and talking to people about deism, and that it's nothing that we try and shove down anybody's throat. Usually, Paul is kind of passive, and about the only thing he does that's really, let's put it this way, out there is he'll hand out a pamphlet to somebody. But basically, he's got bumper stickers up, and if people come up and ask him what he's, you know, what is this deism stuff, well, then he'll tell them. And if they decide that they, you know, oh, that's enough, I'm not interested, he just backs off, and, you know, that's fine. Because he's had some experiences with various, shall we say, rabid Christians and people who were not happy with his message, and they wanted to cram...
Because they have the truth.
Well,
they have the truth, yeah. And everybody else's opinion is subject to their interpretation of what is true and what not true, and they have the truth, so everything else is a lie.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, that is the way it is. And you and I have very close, shall we say, I'll call it intimate knowledge of the workings of the evangelical fundamentalist Pentecostal mind, the charismaniac mindset, if you will.
Very close-minded.
Yeah.
Very close-minded, dogmatic, black and white. There is no gray. It's like either you believe what we believe, or you're going to hell. And it's what all the love of Christianity seems to be disappearing, and it really seems a little bit more pointed and hateful.
And well, they'll love you as long as you're agreeing with them. They'll love you. As long as you appear to be an open-minded, lost soul, they'll love you.
Exactly.
But as soon as you actually
start opposing, having an opposing view, or at least a logical view, all of a sudden it turns around and really it goes from Jesus loves you to you're going to hell. I find discouraging.
It is discouraging because you would expect that there are people who supposedly believe in come let us reason together, saith the Lord, would actually reason together, which they don't do sometimes. Not all of them. Let's be honest. There's a lot of good people out there who sincerely believe, and they will sit down and talk at length with you about why they believe the Bible's true and their version of the Bible story, their version of the Christian story, is true and correct above everybody else's version, and why you should believe their way. And there's some good people out there, but unfortunately, you and I have encountered on occasion people who are not quite as open-minded, conversational,
eloquent.
Or eloquent.
In presenting their point of view.
Right, right. And that's not knocking people. There's some people who, like you and I, were vaccinated with phonograph needles when we were kids. So
something like that. Why, is that why we talk so much?
That's why we talk so much.
And we keep going round and round and round.
Oh, yes. Just like a record, yeah. Round and around.
Exactly.
And around. Boy, that's a reference, you youngsters out there listening. You probably don't know what we're talking about. We're talking about vinyl, okay? You all know what vinyl is now. There's CDs and there's vinyl. And we're talking about the old vinyl. In fact,
here, let's go up to date.
We
were
listening. Go ahead.
We had a talking chip downloaded into our system, into our MP.
There we go, a talking chip.
Okay. Oh, now I get it.
Well, anyway, yes. Yeah, so we've encountered numerous different types of people who want to spread their message to us. And I had mentioned to Paul and to the audience in the previous segment that I would invite in the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and even the Baptists that would come to the door and want to present to me their belief system, their story. And I would invite them in and talk with them and continue on with them, asking questions, probing, until they would stop coming, actually. And I have on occasion just here noticed the Mormon missionaries walking the street and looking down at a clipboard or a piece of paper or a notebook, looking at the address and then moving on. So I'm on a list.
We've already been there. Can't go there.
Yeah.
That guy's trouble.
That
we don't want to spend the whole day there either.
Yeah. Oh, I heard that the last missionaries that went there and went to the bishop and asked the questions the guy told them to ask, they moved them somewhere else.
Too bad, so sad.
Yeah, it happens. I tell the story, and I usually put it up around Christmas time, about when I was shopping for Christmas presents at a mall, and a person from a church that I used to go to, had not actually been there for several years, shows up at the mall and is trying to talk to me about that Jesus is the reason for the season. And I have a whole story, which I'll probably put up on the as a podcast as we get closer to the solstice season or the Christmas season, as people go. But this person in the story, as I relate it, was persistent. I tried to extricate myself from the conversation numerous times, and he just wouldn't let me go. So okay, you want to play that game? I'll play your game and then some. And I had that was kind of fun. But you've been in a similar situation where you're in different places and you're dealing
see,
with.
Well, see, my situation isn't necessarily the people who are coming to my door or anything, because I just haven't had that experience as much, especially living in a small town. They just don't. But what I end up getting into conversations are either at parties and bars with drunk Christians. And for some reason, you know, it just, you know how they say you should never talk politics and religion at the bar? Well, you know, that only leaves like sports and the weather. And at some point in time, somebody they feel the need to share that they are right and what they believe in it. And I just have, I try to get out of the conversation, you know, just, well, you know, that's fine. Well, what do you believe? Well, at that point, then I tell them that I believe in Superman. And they're like, well, how can
well,
you
I
believe
kinda
in
like
that?
The version that, I kind of like, Mark, the version that you do tell, and that is that when somebody's insistent on telling you their version, you say, fine, as long as I can tell you my story when we're done.
Well, here, I'll let you share a bit, and then it's my turn to share my belief system. Now, you know what? It's maybe it's a little silly, but, you know, when you look at all the other religions that have been created within my, well, actually just before my lifetime, I mean, Dianetics, I think, by Ron Hubbard, came up in 1950, and then he invented Scientology in 1952. Now, this is a science fiction writer, and he created this thing, and it has grown to become a huge religion within our culture. So if I can say that Superman was created back in 1932, it has 20 years superiority in being around. And
there
and,
you go.
And you know what? It's been around longer than yours, you know, than Scientology. Now,
then if you're being approached by Scientologists,
Well, you know, it's just making a point. In the revealed religions of the world, you know, there isn't one religion that goes all the way back to the beginning of time. It's all
That includes Christianity.
That includes Christianity. Yes. All of them.
In this country, most Christians think that their version of Christianity is probably, at least within the fundamentalist evangelical type of denominations, they think that they can trace their way all the way back to Jesus. And they can't, actually, because eventually the variations of Christianity end up in the not the first century, but they actually end up in the 500s or back to the 300s. But primarily a lot of what is now considered to be the basics of Christianity were decided in what is sometimes called the Jesus Wars that occurred from 5 to 700 A.D. as different variations of Christianity literally battled it out with each other and killed each other in the name of God.
Right. Well, you know what is also interesting in a lot of these discussions, since we do have the background that we had in growing up, most of the times I end up stabbing them with their Bible. In that I know more than they know about the Bible and the religion in discussing, our points of view. And it just reminds me of one time at work, somebody was trying to tell me that, you know, okay, we were going to order a pizza, and that he couldn't have any meat on the pizza because it was Friday and it was Lent. Well, I just played dumb. And I said, well, what is Lent? And well, he says, well, it's just a tradition that, you know. I said, a tradition of what? And I started to have, you know, I was just playing dumb, but tell me why you can't have meat and where did this come from? Well, I'm Catholic. Okay, well, you're Catholic. Well, then what is Lent? What are you talking about? And they actually were following the traditions and everything else, but they actually knew nothing about what Lent was and the 40 days and why it actually was in existence.
Right.
You know,
which Pope
this was Jesus' time in the desert when he was tempted by the devil and everything else. That's what it's symbolizing, is during that time you're looking inwards, you're giving up certain things and for purification purposes before, you know,
Easter. Yeah.
Well, when I couldn't get any answers from him, that's when I decided, well, here, this is what it really is. I said, but you ought to kind of take a look at yourself, that you're professing to believe in something and you don't even know what you believe in.
Right.
And I
it's a good point.
I backed out. I still backed off. You know, you don't want to start a flip and fight over it.
Sure.
But just kind of pointing out, you know, hey, you should really kind of bone up on what you believe in, or at least gain some knowledge of what you believe in and why you believe it and why actually it's something that you want to follow instead of just blindly following, well, it's tradition. It's more than that.
Well, you know, this is what our deist reality cards are there for. These are contradictions in the Bible, silly Bible statements, things that people can use when they are approached by Bible thumpers. And these are questions that they can ask that are loaded questions. They're questions specifically designed to get the other person to think and try and defend their position, their so-called biblical or religious position. But it's primarily there to get them to think.
Well, that's the reason why I have my 10 reasons why Superman is better than Jesus.
Hey, you know what? That's great. And we need this is perfect time for a break. So, folks, when we come back in just a few minutes,
10 reasons why Superman is better than Jesus.
There we go. Stick with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Okay.
This is the World Union of Deists podcast. Tim Wingate's your host with my guest, Mark Wingate. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Join the religious revolution. For thousands of years, the pure and simple belief in God, the designer and creator of the universe, has been held hostage by revealed religions. Greedy and dishonest men have smothered this natural and reason-friendly idea of a creator for their own selfish desires by making false claims to direct communication with the creator. They have filled volumes of pages with nonsensical, fear-producing dribble that they call Holy Scripture. Whether it's called the Torah, Old or New Testament, or the Quran, it's all ancient gibberish that goes against our God-given reason. Finally, towards the end of the European Age of Enlightenment, a reason-friendly system of belief in God was born. It is called deism. Deism happily unites our God-given reason with a realistic belief in nature's God. We're no longer burdened with such insane ideas as original sin, a vengeful and jealous God, a flat earth, the road to salvation requiring a bath in the blood of a man-god, or symbolic cannibalism. Ad nauseam. Deism points to the designer of nature, our creator, by applying our God-given reason to the designs in nature. This is truly a strong, clean, and healthy break from the ancient revealed religions and their fear-based superstitions and man-made myths. If you'd like to learn more about deism, if you'd like to free yourself and your family and friends and society from the man-made, unreasonable dogmas of the various revealed religions, write us, the World Union of Deists, for free information packet on deism. Write to WUD Box 4052, Clearwater, Florida, 33758. That is WUD Box 4052, Clearwater, Florida, 33758. Also, for an in-depth look at deism, and to contact us, look on the web at www.deism.com.
Okay, we're back. World Union of Deists podcast. Tim Wingate here. I have as my guest my brother Mark, and we're discussing
Hello.
Christian witnessing and Christians who just have to tell you about their belief, and not just Christians, but other religions who try to proselytize you as well. And some ways, some fun ways of handling them as they come up. And my brother Mark and I both were into comic books. We still are. Love the, well, as we
graphic
call them
now,
we call them graphic novels.
Graphic novels.
That's right. And we're not
we're
not descendants of hillbillies. Mountain Williams. That's Mountain Wilhelms. That's a little, but they're graphic novels. But Superman was always a big favorite.
My favorite.
Of ours.
Oh yeah, Batman
Mark's
too.
Favorite.
But let's.
I always kind of like
Superman.
That. Well, Superman was always a bit of a Boy Scout. I always liked Batman because he was a little bit more rebellious, and he was the vigilante. etc. But we both liked those two guys. There's no doubt about it. So you're going to tell us the 10 reasons that Superman is better than Jesus.
Right. So this is just 10. You could probably make more, but these are really good. Number one, Superman has saved the planet for destruction numerous times. Jesus has threatened to return and bring on the end of the earth with him, but so far he's a effing no-show. No, still has to come back. You know, he lied.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. That's right. Superman has saved the world.
Okay, mm-hmm. Two, Jesus performed a few miracles, but Superman can shoot laser beams out of his eyes. He can fly, is indestructible, and can see through everything except lead. In one movie, he even turned back time. How cool is that?
That is awesome. I never read any stories. I mean, what did Jesus do? He walked on water. Well, he did raise some people from the dead.
But wait a minute.
That's kind of why
we can get into that in just a minute. You know? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Three. Jesus may have died for your sins, but Superman died to protect us from an intergalactic killing machine called Doomsday. So actually, there's something they both have in common. They both have died and rose from the dead. Four.
Oh.
When Jesus died, he was resurrected 3 days later and then abruptly left, telling his disciples he'd be back within their lifetime. An obvious lie. Superman died and was status for a while and emerged with long, glorious 1990s hair. Unlike Jesus, however, Superman stuck around and has busy been keeping the world safe from evil.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Five. Although not a god, Superman still risks his life all the time to combat supervillains. Jesus, on the other hand, is apparently all-powerful and yet refuses to do something as basic as healing amputees.
Yeah.
Six.
Wait. Yeah. Yeah. Wait. Why do you got these little kids walking around with no, you know, trying to walk around with no
legs? I mean, blind, all sorts of things. You know, but...
Yeah.
So six, Superman can move mountains. Jesus claimed praying to him will accomplish the same feat, but with no noticeable effects from prayer has ever been measured.
Well, Pat Robertson said he stopped a hurricane from coming by praying.
Well, they didn't stop it in New Orleans. Oh, wait a minute, that was
well. That's because
there.
New Orleans.
By
was
God, because they were our, that was our Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, so God had to punish us. And
you know,
yeah.
because they had Mardi Gras.
I guess Pat couldn't find.
And women
Pat
would show their boobs for beads.
That's right. And Pat couldn't find 10 righteous people in New Orleans.
Okay, seven. Superman is an expert in dozens of languages, and is an accomplished journalist. Jesus never left any writings or evidence of any of his works.
Well, that's because he had people to copy down what he said. He didn't have, you know, he had kind of like, you know, like I use the dragon speech to typing thing instead of having to sit there and try and hunt and peck on the keyboard. So Jesus just had scribes following him around writing down what he said, didn't he? Or they remembered. That's it. They got special memory abilities.
Exactly. But let me get to number eight.
Okay.
We could do this, you know.
Keep going.
Okay. Superman hooked up with the insanely hot Lois Lane. You know, he actually got married, while the only women who showed any interest in Jesus were prostitutes. Of course, that doesn't make Jesus bad, though, you know, because... You know,
no, that doesn't make him bad, and that's kind of following that old myth that the Roman Catholics pushed on about Mary Magdalene being a prostitute. There's no evidence that Mary Magdalene was actually the woman who supposedly had demons cast out of her, and the assumption was that she was a prostitute. But I think that's part of that whole thing of trying to shut the women up and shut Mary out of the influence in early Christianity.
Gosh, that same religion and that same part of the world still subjugates women. Still.
Yeah it does.
Okay. Nine. Jesus said, "But those mine enemies, which would not help, not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." Superman, on the other hand, has a strict code of conduct that forbids him to kill anyone.
So where did Jesus say that?
Luke 19:27. Look it up in your Bible.
Wow. So Jesus said, those who don't want me to rule over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me?
Yep.
That's pretty heavy duty.
That's pretty heavy duty.
Wait a minute. He's supposed to be the Prince of Peace.
Well, Jesus is the Man of Steel. Okay? So I got that going. He has that going for him. And in 10, if you fell out of your apartment window and cried for help, Superman would try to save you. Not only would Jesus not even bother to save you, he will send you to hell for all eternity if you don't believe in him or love him. Just remember, God loves you, but if you don't love him back, you go to hell for all eternity. I mean, I wouldn't even do that to my children. So, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like your list.
You know, another thing.
I think there's a few little issues with it, but minor issues when it comes to.
I might have to just get. Maybe I should, make them a little shorter and stuff, you know.
You really laid it out pretty well. I was trying to do a condensed version of the Bible story, the God story with Jesus included. And there is just no way that you can tell that whole thing in a short period of time. It's at least 5 minutes it takes to go from the creation through Jesus dying, and that's not even including the end of the world stuff.
Well, you get
There's
you have
just to, no way to
you
get
have to
into
get to the
whole
point of why they had to why his father had to kill him for us to be saved. That's just something that just kind of freaks me out every single time. Now, but
well, yeah, in, yeah, because when
in,
you really
in,
when
in
you,
my little Superman religion,
yeah.
I have Jor-El 3:16 for Jor-El.
Well, hang on, Mark, before you
yes.
get to that, hang on a second.
Okay.
Let's establish the basic Christianity story. And look at it from the aspect.
Wait, do we have 5 minutes?
Yeah, we do. We have 5 minutes.
It's gonna take longer
than
that.
I'm gonna do? I'm gonna hit the high points, and I'm not going to get into the specific details, which I could actually. When you get into it and you really try to explain it, it sounds like either Mormonism or Scientology.
You know what?
Just
Mommy
as
Jesus.
Sci-fi sounding as any of these things. But I'll just hit the highlights. And
okay.
and that is that God made us to worship him. He was our Father, living and walking amongst us, giving us everything we needed to live, yet we chose to sin against him. A cosmic act of treason, punishable by death. As a result, we're separated from God, and we try to then be our own gods, declaring what is right and wrong, and live by our own standards. Jesus lived.
But wait a minute.
Despite
okay,
our pride.
Let's dial this back to the very beginning, to the, you know.
All right.
Sherman set the Wayback Machine to the Tree of Knowledge.
Okay, Mr. Peabody.
Exactly. And that's just it. They fell by wanting knowledge. That was
well, yeah, you go back
greatest
to the, you go back
sin.
To the garden. You go back to the garden. Sin is law is breaking the law. Sin and crime are synonymous. Sinner and criminal are synonymous. It means the same
and
thing.
And that was the point.
Yeah.
You know, knowledge was the thing that we wanted, and that was our biggest sin. Wow.
Right. So,
God loves them young and stupid.
And remember, this is a rule that God created. That He said there's the punishment for sin, for disobedience, is death. And that's the rule. That's it, period. I say so. No backs, no changes, period.
Okay.
I'm rubber, you're glue.
What bounces off me sticks on you.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So let me just hit the high points. And
hey, everyone
then
listening,
we can go
can't
from
you
there.
Tell we're brothers?
Okay. All right. Jesus lived. And despite our pride and ignorance, Jesus, who created the world and is God, lovingly came into human history as a man, born of a virgin, and even though he was tempted every way we are, he lived a life without sin. He was in perfect obedience, never sinned. Because of his great love for us, he went to the cross and took the punishment of death that we deserved. Before his death and after his resurrection, he preached that the good news of God's kingdom, love, promise, forgiveness, and acceptance was fulfilled in him in both his life and his death. So in essence, God became man because there could be no perfect men because God had cursed mankind with some kind of DNA.
He stacked the deck. He stacked the deck.
He stacked the deck because you sin, you eat that fruit, your DNA is corrupted, and every offspring of yours is condemned to death. You're going to die because of your sin. And so no man could die for all of men. The only person who was perfect would be God if God became a man and died. And so he died in place of man so that man wouldn't have to die. Even though his physical flesh will die anyway at some point. But he then promises that there's going to be resurrection. So that if your body dies anyway, your spirit goes to live with God in heaven in the other realm. And your body will eventually be resurrected. Which has always been a little bit of one of those George Carlin questions, you know. One of those things. That is like, well, what about the people whose bodies have completely decomposed and go back to the earth? What about the people whose bodies have been cremated and their ashes
burned?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Eaten by sharks when they drowned in the ocean.
There you go. Eaten by sharks and then their fish
and pooped out.
Pooped out and eaten by shrimp and other little other
and then
little
eaten
critters.
By people.
And then eaten by people.
If they weren't deveined. wouldn't that be divine?
Deveined divine shrimp.
Exactly. Okay.
If we're gonna make it religious, we gotta call it jumbo shrimp so it can be an oxymoron.
Perfect.
Deveined divine jumbo shrimp. Christian shrimp. But
okay.
Remember, according to the Bible, God hates shrimp.
Oh, that's right.
They're shellfish.
If you're following, well, but that's Old Testament.
Well, now we'll make the distinction, because that's right. Christians have to make the distinction between Old Testament laws and New Testament laws, because
they believe the whole Bible,
but the
Old Testament, they can go ahead and say, well, that doesn't apply to us. You know, because we have been freed.
But look at all the fights over the Ten Commandments, though.
Oh my God!
We gotta have our Ten Commandments put up. You know, some judge lost his judgeship because he refused to take down the Ten Commandments in the courtroom, and then some stone
Good
monument
thing.
With the Ten Commandments. I remember when I was still a Bible Sunday school attendee. And we were studying the Ten Commandments, I asked the question, why are we meeting today and not on Saturday? Remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. This is a statute.
Yeah, the week starts
forever,
with Sunday,
for all
not Monday.
You and your generations. Why not Monday, not Sunday?
Yeah, Monday, the week starts with Sunday, and the Sabbath
is
Saturday.
You're alluding to... where Paul talks about in Acts, in one of his letters, he talks about that you meet together on the first day of the week. You meet in your homes, in your houses on the first day of the week. And this is usually one of the things that Christians will go to try and justify that they're keeping the Sabbath because the Sabbath was changed. And eventually some pope did change the Sabbath to Sunday.
Right.
And Sunday was the first day of the week, but for all practical purposes, Monday's the first day of the week.
In America.
Yeah, in America. In most of the world. What's actually funny is that you look at some of the calendars from other parts of the world, especially countries that are not necessarily ostensibly Christian per se, and Monday's the first day of the week. You know, we have this bent perspective on things, and
yes, we do.
It's odd. So anyway, we kind of got off track here, but getting back to the thing of about, okay, Jesus lived and Jesus died, and he took the punishment for the sin because he was God in the flesh, and God could only be the only perfect man who could die innocently, because no man could die for man because of God's rules. Jesus.
But
again,
that gets back to the whole Jewish thing.
Well, it was stacked,
to pay for your
like
sins.
You
had to sacrifice. You had to kill animals and have a blood sacrifice.
Yeah, and it was temporary. It was only temporary. It was a temporary stop, you know, a measure. Eventually, a human would have to die.
Because
so
God
fixed
blood.
It so that he could be the human who died because he loved the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
And that's where I challenge that with my Jor-El 3:16. For
Jor-El
so loved his world that he sent his one and only Son, Kal-El, to earth, that whoever looks up in the sky, believes it's not a bird or a plane, but Superman, standing for truth, justice, in the American way. There we go. Now, you know, argue those points.
There you go. Well, I want to know why those guys who saw something flying and thought it was a bird and a plane were so excited.
But wait a minute.
Why are they?
No. Look. Up in the sky.
Up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's a plane. No, it's Superman.
So they're only excited because once they realized it was Superman. Well, why was it so excited?
And that he wouldn't poop on them as a bird would.
Birdie in the sky drops a whitewash in my eye. I don't care. I don't cry. I'm just glad that cows don't fly. Yeah. See, folks, you can have fun with superstitions. You can have fun with this stuff, because once you really start to analyze it, you realize that anything beyond just the reasonable acceptance that we're here, we have an existence, we have a world around us that was ostensibly based on the reason by many created by some higher intelligence. But we don't know who and what that was, because the only way is for that higher intelligence to contact you. And if that higher intelligence contacts you individually, that's called revelation or epiphany. And if you then try to tell other people about it, well, that's fine. But unless they have their own revelation and epiphany,
it's lost in translation. I'm sorry.
It's a private exchange of information. Doesn't mean you can't have your own revelation and epiphany. No, I'm saying you can't do that. But what has happened in our world is that people with these revelations and epiphanies, or in some cases, some people believe hallucinations, have then said, you must follow this way or my way, otherwise you deserve to die.
And
convert
Superman doesn't
or
want
die.
That.
And Superman doesn't want that. That's right. He's committed to not killing. Whereas Batman
actually it gets to be fun if you can actually have a discussion, because there are parallels between Superman and Jesus. You know? Superman and his father have the same last name, El, which means God in Hebrew.
Yes, El Shaddai, El Anon.
Superman was created by Jewish people.
Oh, yeah. Jerry
Siegel and Joe Shuster. Yeah. They were
Jewish.
In fact, there's a lot of people who wondered whether or not Superman or Clark Kent was actually Jewish, but no, he was raised by Methodists.
That's right.
The Kents.
Yes, the Kents. John and Martha Kent were Methodists. That's true. Well,
did you know
the
original
version.
First names for Superman's parents were actually Mary and Joseph?
In the original storyline?
And then they were changed.
Because it was too obvious.
Exactly. Yeah, really, can you change that, you know?
Well, like maybe
Martha
maybe
and
those...
Jonathan, you know? It's close. It's M and J, you know?
Yeah.
Still there.
Well, hey, maybe were those two guys Jews for Jesus?
Jews creating Jesus.
I don't know. Well, yeah, according to the story, they did, or it did, or God did.
There's things on the web that you can find out that say that, you know, they were that yes, they were greatly influenced by that. But you also have that, and you know, the relationship between Superman and Moses. That's there, you know. Superman.
Oh yeah, you have all those different miracles to save.
Right, and then you also have, you know, Moses, who was sent out in a reed basket. You know, both arriving as saviors to their people. Or people.
Well, I tell you what, Mark, we're coming up against another break here. We're gonna take a break, folks. And when we come back, I'd like you to just go ahead and tell us the story of Kal-El, and we'll finish up with some of that, and because we're in August right now as we're talking, but it's not too long till Christmas and the solstice time, and we start hearing the stories of Jesus the babe born in a manger, the angels announcing. And Mary and Joseph and you know, the whole bit, the whole story, which is very similar to Horus and Mithra and some of the other previous godmen that have existed in human culture, civilization, and mythology. So we will be dealing with, when we come back from the break, folks, you can hear the music starting, and we will be back in just a few minutes. Stick with us. And we will hear the story of Kal-El. This is Tim Wingate on the World Union of Deists podcast, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever been imposed upon by religious fundamentalists, Baptists, Pentecostals, Mormons, or Jehovah's Witnesses? Perhaps you heard a knock at your door, expecting a friend or family member, but instead, you found a religious fanatic whose only interest was to witness to you. To ensure your thinking was the same as his or hers, thus saving you from eternal hell. If you don't know quite what to say in situations like this, or if you just want to give them something to think about, we have just the thing. They are the Deist Reality Cards, and they're back by popular demand. It is an attractive business card size laminated card you can carry with you anywhere and at any time. It has listed on it 5 impossible to answer questions based directly on contradictory and spurious Bible passages, along with their chapter and verse citations. The effect this powerful little card will have on charlatans is to turn them off to you completely. The effect it will have on the sincere proselytizer is to make them think, question, and reason. Order your card or cards now, and never again fall prey to the fanatics of the revealed religions. Buy one or your choice of several sets of Deist Reality Cards. Get all 10 sets of Deist Reality Cards free with your 9-month, 1-year, 2-year, 5-year, or lifetime subscription to Deistic Thought and Action. Go to the www.deism.com website and click on the subscribe link at the top of the page. The Deist Reality Cards. Don't answer the door without them.
Okay, we're back. Thank you, everybody, for sticking around. Our last segment here, my guest, my brother Mark, and we're talking about Superman. and how Mark deals with people who insist on telling him their religious story, and he politely will listen to them as long as he gets to tell them his religious story, or you could say superstitious story, or whatever you want to call it. And Mark then goes into talking to them about Kal-El. And Mark, I'm just going to let you tell me. Help me believe in
well, the origin of Uberman or his basic story. You know, I can read it.
Uberman.
Rocketed to Earth from the doomed planet Krypton, the infant Kal-El was once great culture's visitor to a world that appeared savage and untamed compared to Kryptonian civilization. Yet his father, Jor-El, was confident that Kal-El would thrive. He surmised that under the rays of Earth's yellow sun, his child would acquire miraculous powers. In time, Kal-El would defy gravity and move mountains with his strength. On his third...
Herculean?
On this third... Yes. I cannot get my
tongue
around that
word. Hey, can you speak up a little bit?
Word. Yes.
Hey, Mark.
On this
speak
third
up a little
planet...
bit more. Thanks.
Okay, on this third planet from the star Sol, the last son of Krypton would rule and the Kryptonian civilization would be reborn. But that was Jor-El's dream, but that isn't what happened. Raised by a kindly couple in Kansas, Kal-El of Krypton became Clark Kent of Earth, and when maturity revealed powers far beyond those of mortal men, Krypton's sole survivor knew that his gifts were meant to help the world. The world needed a hero. The orphan of Krypton eventually became Superman, a man of tomorrow, the man of steel, fighting a never-ending battle to bring peace and prosperity to the planet that had afforded him refuge and his own chance at life. He let stand
wow.
for truth, justice, and the American way.
Wow.
So Superman was sent here from his father,
mm-hmm.
Jor-El, to save the world.
So what do I need to do to be saved?
You know what? He saves
help
you.
Help me in my unbelief. Help me in my unbelief. What must I do to be saved?
Well, just believe in Superman. That's all.
Okay.
You know, believe in him, his powers, what he does, and try to be a good person.
Do I have to wear Superman clothes?
Well,
I'm a believer.
You know what? In some way, I might be more Mormon because I do have Superman underwear. So is it magic? No, but it does have the Superman emblem on it. You know what? And today, actually, I am dressed in blue and red. So
blue and red. There we go.
Yeah, I have Superman's colors on. No,
that's a subtle one.
You know what? He doesn't save me. It's a belief in something bigger than ourselves.
So if you're falling out of a 10-story window, you're calling out, help save me?
Well, you know what? Jesus has just as much chance of saving me as Superman does. Okay, really.
Yeah,
in all
yep,
reality,
yep.
You know,
true.
Both are fiction written
yeah.
by men. And for what reason? One was done for entertainment. The other writings, I'm not so sure about. It still seems to me a lot of times it's
when you get into something like this, you start to get true believers, who then start to really get into believing that, you know, their story is the truth. And you know, what I find amazing in most religions is this bloodletting that has to occur. It's either sacrifice of humans, if it's not humans, it's some kind of animals, or if you don't believe the way we do, you're the enemy and we must kill you.
Yeah, but even in Christianity, too, the whole thing of the rites of Christianity, where the blood sacrifice of
the
blood,
yeah, rites and rituals, yeah,
right. We're going to drink the blood and eat the body. I'm sorry, that sounds like vampirism and cannibalism.
Yeah.
Or zombieism. You know,
well,
that sounds,
actually sounds
a little creepy. I'm sorry.
You know, Bob Johnson wrote an article, I think, a while back, and talks about the zombies when supposedly Jesus rose from the dead, supposedly according to one of the stories, and this is the funny thing, you got four Gospels and four versions of the story. The graves were opened up in the cemeteries, and people who died were now staggering into town to hang out with the family. And it's like, well, where were these zombies coming back, or what? What happened? And that reminds me of another point.
And
know,
then what happened to them? That, you know,
hang on a second. Hang on a second. In your story, the 10 things of Superman versus Jesus is that Jesus rose in 3 days from the dead and then abruptly left. Actually, the story is that he stuck around for 40 days.
That's right.
And
appearing to other people.
Stuck around for 40 days. And so after he rose from the dead, so did the zombie people stick around for 40 days too?
Doesn't really say anything about that.
No, it doesn't say anything. All we're left with is that the people rose from the dead and they went into town and were recognized by their relatives. We don't know what happened to them after that.
Wouldn't that freak them out? Wouldn't they freak
them
out? They were dead. And what did they look like?
You know, it's like the story is Lazarus. You know, Jesus loved Lazarus. He was, you know, maybe his brother-in-law. We don't know. He got Mary and Martha, his sisters, and they came and begged Jesus to come and do something about it because Lazarus had died. And Jesus said, open the tomb. And they say, oh, he's been dead a while. He stinks now.
He's going to stink. Yeah.
He's going to stink. So Jesus says, go ahead, do it. And so then Lazarus, come forth. And so out staggers this guy wrapped up in, you know, the burial stuff. And I guess he's okay. But then after that, we don't know what happened. Did he live to an old age? Did he, you know, what happened? So the same thing with these other people. See, this is the problem. You brought it up, I thought, very well, is that people don't know their own Bible. They don't know their own stories. And once you really get into it and study it, you start to recognize all these inconsistencies. And,
right.
And
it also, you know, there should have been a story. You know, there should have been one scripture, you know, that talks about Jesus in a different way. Jesus laughed. You know, how about that? Jesus told a really good joke.
We always hear about Jesus wept,
Jesus,
but we don't hear Jesus, about Jesus,
you know, farted and got it stink. You know, something.
Did
all we get
Jesus
is Jesus
fart
wept.
Stink. That's what I want to know. Did Jesus' fart stink? You know, pull my finger.
Yeah.
Hey, Judas,
my finger.
Judas, pull my finger.
Actually, it reminds me of a quote. It reminds me of a quote by this woman, Ruth Hermance Green, which was an author and atheist. But she said, "I'm convinced now that children should not be subjugated to the frightfulness of the Christian religion. If the concept of a father who plots to have his own son put to death is presented to children as beautiful and worthy of society's admiration, what types of human behavior can be presented to them as reprehensible?"
Yeah. I actually have a very early...
Wrap your thoughts around that.
Oh, there you go. I actually have a very early Sunday school memory back when I was a child at that church that our parents left when I was six. You don't even remember.
Haven of Hope.
You were three. Yeah, Haven of Hope, and which was an independent Foursquare church. It was affiliated with the Foursquare denomination, but it was an independent.
Did they play with the balls and everything? They play Foursquare?
That goes back to the history of, you know, Amy Semple McPherson, and that's a whole interesting story if you like religious history, especially Christian denominationalism.
But we digress. Religious. We digress.
Yes, we digress. But I don't remember the name. Jephthah, I think. I could not. You know what? I'm not even going to try because I don't remember the guy's name or his daughter's name, but it was the story of the guy who asked God for victory in something, you know, asked a favor of God and promised to sacrifice the first thing that came out to greet him when he came back home. He would give that as a burnt offering sacrifice to God.
You know, what was
God
he hoping? A cow, a bull?
Yeah, he's hoping a cow or a dog or
a
something.
Chicken,
you know,
a chicken.
Something like that. And what comes out? His daughter. His daughter comes out. And so, you know, he tells the daughter, he says, oh, wow, I got good news and bad news. I won, but you know, you're the sacrifice.
You didn't.
you did.
Hey,
well, give
honey,
me,
you
give
won. Hey, you won too.
Yeah, and so she says, okay, well, give me a year to mourn my virginity. And so she goes off for a year. Now, for all intents and purposes, we don't know what happened. The story doesn't really. Some parts of the story it implies that he killed her as a blood sacrifice burnt offering to Jehovah. But other people try to say, no, he didn't do that because God doesn't accept human sacrifice unless it's himself. And so you have this story that's in the Old Testament that ostensibly Christians believe because they believe in the whole Bible and it's only full of truth and no problems with anything at all. And you've got this story in there that is very difficult. It's one of those really tough stories for apologists, biblical apologists, to handle.
Okay, so anyway, that was the story of Jephthah that I remember from the Sunday school class as a very young child, and it kind of scared the crap out of me.
Exactly. Isn't that reprehensible also? You know,
yeah.
If he actually did have to kill his child as
yeah,
his promise to God.
Is my dad going to do that to me?
Right. Well, there's a couple of stories with that in the Bible. You had Jesus Christ, but you also had Abraham and Isaac.
Well, yeah.
Where Abraham was going to, was told to sacrifice his son, you know? Wow.
Unless it's the Quran, and then it was Ishmael.
Nah.
The story changes in the Quran's version. It's Ishmael who was speaking.
Oh, really?
Where Abraham was going to sacrifice. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Then okay.
So, I mean, we have
excuse me.
We have these various stories. And, of course, with the Abraham one, we have the thing where the angel appears and tells him, you know, stop, you don't have to do it. Look, there's a ram caught in the thicket. You can sacrifice.
Which was beamed there, you know.
Oh, you think it was beamed or transported there, yeah.
That transported there, yeah.
Yeah,
it was materialized right there.
We need the transporter sound effect. But yeah, even getting into the Abraham and Isaac story, theologians over the years have really struggled with that. And I think the most fun thing I saw was on Ancient Aliens, where the guy.
Oh, I love that guy.
We're Crazy Hair.
George Jorge or whatever his name is.
Yeah, what?
Giorgio.
Giorgio.
Oh my God!
Something or another.
That guy's related to Boehner, I think, because he's orange. You know?
Overly suntan. And then you got the long-haired guy who can't see his eyes correctly. Little speech impediment. And these guys are going on about how that maybe the angel who told Abraham to sacrifice his son was actually one of the bad aliens, and then the one who saved him from killing his son was one of the good aliens. And, I love
one of the grays?
Well, who knows?
It's all conjecture at that point.
Yeah, and even though the...
Maybe it was a giant squid, whatever.
Yeah. Satuhu or whatever that is. I don't know. Arthur B. Clarke character that's got the tentacles and everything. I don't know. But personally, I like the flying spaghetti monster. I think that guy's pretty cool. But it,
exactly. If you want to believe in something.
If you want to believe in something. The thing is, even with the whole ancient astronaut theory or ancient alien theory and all that stuff, these guys almost turn it into a religion. Everything becomes the product and possibly from ancient alien ETs who came and influenced early primitive man. And it's like, well, I'm not saying it couldn't have happened, but...
Prove to me that it didn't. Wait a minute. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. That, I love that. I love that. That's right.
Prove to me that it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's one of those...
negative arguments.
Negative arguments, yeah, exactly. Where you prove it didn't happen. So it's like, well, you prove to me that the magical flying pink unicorns don't exist.
And that's the reason why I believe in Superman.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. Because once you start to, as we said before, oh, by the way, I wanted to mention while we were talking, I managed to find out where that story was, and it's Judges chapter 11. About Jephthah and his daughter. I did have the name right.
But oh, excellent.
Sometimes this stuff just kind of, bubbles up, from the muck below.
I'll have to check that in my New American Standard Bible, which conveniently is right next to my Superman novels, too.
Well, there you go. There you go. Yeah.
It's on my American fiction shelf. Actually, it's right next to Weird Wisconsin, Weird USA, Weird Illinois.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is the thing. Just to be fair, there is truth. There is good stuff in the Bible. In fact, if you go to the Skeptics Annotated Bible, they'll have a section, and this is something that's online, folks. You can just Google it, Skeptics Annotated Bible, and they will have good stuff in the Bible. And they will run through all the chapters and point out the good things. And it's amazing how many of the minor prophets, nothing good, nothing good, nothing good.
Amos.
Like, oh, my, yeah, oh
Micah.
My goodness. You take a look. They've got the list there. And so the point being is that we're not really trying to run everything down. What we're trying to do is point out that there are alternative belief systems throughout the world. And for any group to say theirs is the only truth that is literally not provable, and then to demand blood if you don't agree with them, that is the tragedy and the history of revealed religions history, from as far back as we can go. And this is why as deists and World Union of Deists, we completely eschew this concept of blood sacrifice, and that these revealed religions ultimately end up in some form of violence against free-thinking people. And what we would like to do, and what we're trying to do, is give you folks the tools, the rational arguments, the articulation to be able to combat these ideas. This just popped into my head. Mark, have you seen that movie Agora?
No.
No. Oh,
no, I haven't.
Bummer. It is, I don't know if it's on HBO or Showtime, but I know it's going to be played Monday morning. Monday, which would be, well, you can check. Everyone's got a search engine. If you've got satellite or if you've got cable, you got a search engine. You can tell. I think it's Monday the 13th, if I'm not mistaken. It's going to be playing on one of the premium channels. Agora is a wonderful story about Hypatia in Egypt, who was a woman philosopher and scientist. And this is during the time that Christianity was starting to take over across northern Africa. And this is, I'm not sure if Islam had started yet or not, but there was the conflicts and how the Christians in that area were just totally against the science of trying to understand how the solar system was set up. And it's a much more
involved story.
Wow,
that hasn't changed much.
Yeah. She, according to the story, she and some of the others came up with the idea that some of the planets and some of the orbits are actually ellipses rather than perfect circles. And this understanding of geometry helps them figure out
this
that
is before Isaac
Earth
Newton.
Is, yeah. This is before.
Wow.
This is, oh, I'm going to guess, I don't remember the exact time frame, but this has to be post-325 because Rome is ostensibly Christian at that point. And it's during the time that one author has called the Jesus Wars, a period of about, I'm going to say 300 to 600 years post 325, where there was argument amongst the Christians all around the Mediterranean as to the nature of God, nature of the universe, nature of Jesus, this whole kind of thing. And they were literally killing each other over these disagreements and burning libraries, burning scrolls, scientific documents, anything that disagreed with whatever the group, that had the masses. And this is one of the problems. The concept of deism is no one's going to tell you what supernatural stuff to believe in. That's up to you. But
actually, while we were talking, I checked this out. Hypatia of Alexandria.
Of Alexandria.
That's what its story. Yeah, the famous female philosophy and mathematics professor, Hypatia of Alexandria. Oh, and it stars Rachel Weisz.
I have
to watch it.
Yeah, Rachel Weisz is hot. I'll watch almost anything with her in it.
Exactly.
Oh, man. But anyway, so we've been kind of on a little bit of our rant here. And please don't misunderstand us. We're just saying let's have some fun with superstition. Let's have some fun with it. There are funny things and the inconsistencies, and when you really start to examine them in the light of reason, as Tom Paine told us to do, a lot of this stuff just doesn't stand up. And usually, I like the aspect of humor because humor gives you a way of really addressing the issue and pointing out the inconsistencies. In a way without having to get into a fight. Usually, though, it's the people reacting to your humor who don't find it funny. That's nothing to laugh at. That's blasphemous. They give you the attitudes like that. And my response is to that, well, okay, let's examine what the Bible says. In fact, just before we do that, Mark, get your Superman. You already gave us the long story of Superman, but in a nutshell.
You know what? I really kind of like the condensed version from the old, 60s TV show.
Good. You
that actually is the best.
Yeah, I think it is too. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give a couple condensed versions of Christianity. One is something I picked up off the internet, and it's just hilarious. It's called Tada, Tada.
Tada.
And it's Jesus, and he's saying, "I'm going to create man and woman with original sin. Then I'm going to impregnate a woman with myself as her child, so that I can be born. Once alive, I'll kill myself as a sacrifice to myself and save you from the sin that I originally condemned you to."
Ta-da! Ta-da! I liked my condensed version of Superman better.
Well,
here we go.
Before you do that, let me just jump in.
Okay.
I also like George Carlin's
version.
Okay. of which incorporates not just the Jesus sacrifice. You know, it's not just that, but he goes and he says basically this: there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do, every minute of the day. And the invisible man has a list of 10 special things that he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you, and he needs your money.
Ta-da!
Here we go.
Isn't that just perfect? You know, but here, then let I get the last word then for Superman.
Last word until I do the close up. Yeah,
sounds great. Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman. Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal man. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel with his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights the never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. See, you got to go with Superman. You got to go with Superman.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mark, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
About this. And I hope out there, folks, that you enjoyed the podcast here, the World Union Ideas podcast. You can get a hold of us at www.deism.com, and that's deism.com. And you can email me if you would like to tim@deism.com. And I'm very happy to respond to emails, questions, critiques, et cetera. And check out our website. We've got tons of material on there. And I guess that's pretty much it for this podcast. So we got another one in the can. And, Mark, so much I thank you for your help. And
you're very welcome.
Just the fun.
This was a lot of fun. Call me anytime.
So everybody, thanks a lot for tuning in, and remember that God gave us reason, not religion.
Oh, life is bigger. It's bigger.
Books, DVDs, and videos. Deism.com has the resources you need to understand, support, and spread the message of liberty, free thought, and tolerance in our world today. You will find two books written by the founder and director of the World Union of Deists, Bob Johnson. An Answer to C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity and Deism, A Revolution in Religion, A Revolution in You, along with The Age of Reason, the complete edition, by Thomas Paine. This book contains not only The Age of Reason, Part 1st and Part 2nd, as most editions do, but it also contains Part 3rd, which very few other editions offer. Plus, it contains all of Thomas Paine's essays and correspondence regarding God, deism, religion, etc., which no other current edition offers. Paine's profound and life-improving insights become crystal clear in this enlightening collection. This is the complete, powerful package. In an answer to C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity by Bob Johnson, it's a powerful, thought-provoking book which addresses the Christian classic by C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. Each and every claim made by Lewis in support of Christianity is put to the test of our God-given reason, and each point fails. This is a well-documented book which will help deists and free thinkers do well in debates with Christian apologists. It's also an important instrument to use to help realize the distinction between God and religion. In Deism, A Revolution in Religion, A Revolution in You, also by Bob Johnson, this book covers some of the very important topics such as the difference between God and religion, the power of deism to help people in their personal lives as well as to help society progress, the ability of deism to diffuse the Christian push for violence and world war based on the potentially self-fulfilling prophecy of Armageddon. Deism being the more rational choice over atheism and agnosticism, among many other critical and important issues. Go to deism.com. That is www.deism.com. Look for the main menu on the left side of the page. Look for the books, DVDs, and video link near the bottom, and click the link. Order a book for yourself and for someone you think would benefit from it. The time for deism is now. Sign up now for your free monthly online subscription to Think Online and receive in your email the first Monday morning of every month an insightful, thought-provoking World Union of Deists webzine. Each issue is loaded with mind-expanding ideas and practical ways we can work together to build a more enlightened and progressive tomorrow. Also, news you may have missed and WUD updates. You will also receive our Deism webzine, Bruno's and Ripoll's Bulletin. It's all free. Named after the heroic free thinkers, Filippo Giordano Bruno and Cayetano Ripoll. Bruno was burned alive by the Catholic Church on February 17, 1600, for refusing to play along with their dogmatic ignorance of nature and reality. Cayetano Ripoll was hanged on July 26, 1826, on orders of the Spanish Inquisition for being a deist, for teaching others about deism. He was the last person to be murdered by the Spanish Inquisition. Both of these men are true heroes and are shining examples to all deists and free thinkers of courage and integrity in the face of Christian, religious ignorance and brutality. They're also reminders to us all what happens when the revealed religions go unchecked. For your free Think Online webzine, simply send an email to thinkonline@deism.com stating that you would like a free subscription to Think Online, along with the email addresses of any gift subscriptions you'd like us to send. So send that to thinkonline@deism.com and just tell us where you would like your free subscription to go to. Also know this, that we will never sell or give anyone's email address or name to anyone for any reason.